Welcome, everybody, to this all-British WrestleMania preview podcast. And I am not by myself today. I am joined today by the Attitude Era podcast own, Kevin Mann. How are you today, Kevin?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, Darren.
You're very welcome. Now, people might be unaware of the Attitude Era podcast. It is growing at an exponential rate, I must say. I was introduced to it about a year and a half ago, and I am a massive fan. But if you'd like to tell the people on ProWrestling.net a little bit about your podcast, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I suppose most people would assume that if it's the Attitude Era podcast, it's three meatheads going back and talking about how awesome the Attitude Era is and how the current product needs to be like the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era podcast is actually three meatheads going back and just rewatching the Attitude Era and trying to see if it holds up, because it's, you know, held in such high regard, and people are always saying that, you know, oh, it needs to go back to be the Attitude Era or whatever. So there's three of us who watch the shows back. We go pay-per-view by pay-per-view. One of the guys, Billy, has never actually seen any Attitude Era before watching this. So, you know, he's got me there who's grown up watching the Attitude Era. You can compare the, you know, the impressions of someone who's going back to see if it holds up with nostalgia and if it holds up with new fans. So we're currently around halfway through the year 2000 on the podcast. So if you want to search for the Attitude Era podcast, you can find us on iTunes or on SoundCloud. Just search Attitude Era podcast, and all of our episodes are up there. There's over 50 episodes to sink your teeth into now. And we do, you know, sidetracks and diversions now and then, like Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge or the WrestleMania Rage Party or British pay-per-views of the time and things like that. So, yeah, definitely check us out if you've not done so already. We seem to have struck a little bit of a note with wrestling fans. There's a lot of people, I think, who are, you know, felt the need that the Attitude Era needs to be revisited, and we're happy to provide that service.
Yeah, it is a very good podcast. I cannot stress enough. I think I've listened to every episode now, but I'm even more excited going forward, because you're just about to do the first ever pay-per-view I've watched. I started watching wrestling about 2 or 3 weeks before SummerSlam 2000, so you're about to finally start touching on things that I will know kind of in the moment, as opposed to nostalgic or revisionist to going back and looking things. So, yeah, I cannot stress, as much as we have lots of great podcasts here on ProWrestling.net, and we're going to have a ton of audio on the site in the week leading up to WrestleMania that you should all check out. But, yes, go and check the Attitude Era. Your joke about Chris Jericho sending, like, a Pokemon on the
what on his song on WWE Originals.
That's the one.
The other thing, the whole point of the podcast, I guess, is that, you know, by the fact that we're going back and being nostalgic and looking at things from the 90s and early 2000s and whatnot, you know, there is liberal use of Pokemon jokes. Anyone from the UK will pick up on Big Break references. You know, stuff from our childhood from the time seems to crop up quite a bit. And, yeah, Pokemon there definitely always being mentioned in one form or another on the show.
There is no such thing as too many Pokemon jokes, in my opinion.
Well, I think we're the first podcast to successfully make a British Bulldog Pokemon joke. And I think, if anything, if I'm known for being a man who's done a podcast that did that, then I'm happy. I can die happy in that case.
You've achieved life's greatest goal in the podcasting world, of fusing two completely disparate worlds together in one go. So, yes, go and check that out. But without any further ado, we are the day before the last last Monday Night Raw going into WrestleMania. I don't think there is a SmackDown this week, but SmackDown is so utterly pointless these days that even if there was, it would be a complete waste of time. So we don't have the foresight with these previews of the last WrestleMania, the last Monday Night Raw going into WrestleMania, but I'm pretty sure they're going to have to do a lot to change any of my views of what's going to happen. My views are pretty much set in stone for what I think is going to happen. And just so we can get started right away, we're going to be going via the very official listings on Wikipedia, building our way up from the bottom to the top. And weirdly, the first match they have listed is Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, which is kind of useful, since it was the one that they put the least amount of thought in, yet given the most amount of time to, it seems.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of time that's been given to this program, and it's, I'll be honest, and, you know, folks who listen to the podcast will know this, that I'm trying to veer away from just being, oh, you should have booked it like this, or it should have been done like this, but, man, even if you feel like that, it's very strange to justify the booking for Orton and Rollins in this instance. I mean, what kind of build is it to start off the feud by having the babyface destroy the heel? He's already gotten his revenge. What would be gained from this? You know, he's beaten the snot out of Rollins so many times now. And I think they're like, oh, but he hasn't given him an RKO. Well, that's worth having a WrestleMania match for then, I guess.
Let's be fair, there's a lot of matches on this card that have less meaning than he hasn't given him his finisher yet. So kudos for having at least a slight reason for being. But you are right, they have... Look, we all know that Rollins is kind of being, well, not kept safe, but, you know, they're not burying him. He's going to be a champion for the future. He's still got that briefcase. So we know that things aren't about to go downhill. Should Randy Orton beat Seth at WrestleMania? But, yeah, you could tell that they had to, like, they didn't realise, maybe, that they had 5 weeks of Raw.
Yeah, and they threw their cherry way too early with this as well.
He came back at Fastlane, kicked him, you know, beat the shit out of him, and then all of a sudden, oh, but no, we have to stall, and maybe he's back on the same page. And they were trying to play Randy Orton off as, like, this sneaky, like...
It made everyone look like idiots. It made Orton look like an idiot for doing it, and it made everyone in the authority look like idiots for falling for it. And I'll be honest, when I haven't watched, you know, I've missed my fair share of Raws recently. I've just been watching the highlights because they have been seeming, you know, I'll go onto .net and see if it's worth watching and then kind of make my judgment on the basis of that. And looking the last 2 weeks, I thought I had opened up reviews for previous Raws because, like, Seth Rollins and Randy Orton come out and discuss being in the authority together. I'm like, what, have I opened up October here by mistake? What's going on here? But no, they actually tried to do it. They, even though they had slightly too much time to do the little, you know, Orton's back wants revenge, but not long enough to do the intricate Orton works his way back in and then destroys him from the inside. It was just strange, a really odd 2 or 3 weeks of TV there. And of course now it's made me not really excited to see Orton back anymore, because I was really excited for Orton to come back, thinking, right, he was beaten up, he was really put away bad by the authority, he's going to come back, be a house on fire. And then to see him come back after all that, and then, like, no, I'm going to weasel my way and pretend to be their friends. It really, like, he lost all of his momentum, I think, by doing that. And then he's got a match at WrestleMania where neither man could really afford to lose, and neither man will actually gain that much from winning either. So I think they'll have a great match, though. I think this may have this sleeper hit written all over it, but Orton and Rollins have faced each other countless times before, I'm sure. So it does kind of beg the question, does this need to have been done at WrestleMania as opposed to any other time of the year?
It really doesn't need to happen, because it's just been such a shoulder shrug of a build for, like I said, for the vast amount of time between Fastlane and WrestleMania. This has just been an afterthought. It's all over TV. They had a lot of time to tell a better story. What that is off the top of my head, I don't know, but surely there was something better than this, because they just killed all of Randy Orton's momentum coming out of
John Stewart. Maybe would have played, like, there was the rumor that John Stewart was going to be involved at Mania, and even though people would have been groaning and whatnot, but at least having a celebrity of that magnitude being involved with it would have put some eyes on it and made it at least seem interesting. It does feel like a match they would give away on Raw these days, and this is another match as well. They've been bad about this at WrestleMania the last 2 years. Particularly with Orton. I don't know what it is about Orton, but Orton seems to have this thing where he starts 3 pay-per-view feuds. He starts them at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to finish the fight with Seth Rollins here. They'll fight again at Extreme Rules, and they'll fight again the pay-per-view after this. I guarantee it. They always just drag these ones out now because, you know, it's easy for them to get more TV time out of. And J&J Security will get 100,000 RKOs between now and summer, when we'll have to see a lot more of this feud, I think.
Yeah, J&J Security, a.k.a. the Putty Patrol from Power Rangers, they're trying to get their ass handed to them. Prediction? Are you on the same lines as me that you think Orton's going over for the, you know, mainly because it feels like Randy Orton should go over to...
Well, I don't know. The idea is that Orton goes over and then people are like, oh, Orton goes over, but then Seth will cash in later in the night. I still am a bit hesitant to think that, you know, that they're going to do a Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. I just don't think that's going to happen. I could easily be proven wrong on that, though. I'm not, you know, saying that's a God-given. But Orton winning seems the likely thing here, because Rollins could absorb losses. He loses all the time, really. You know, he's generally quite protected.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think him losing to Randy Orton will end up with much happening. The way things are looking, there needs to be a few baby faces with it, I guess. I guess that Orton might be one of them. It could go either way, though, really.
So you bring up a very valid point there, in that they're going to try and mask him cashing in by having him lose, but then that doesn't make for a strong championship if he's just lost to Randy Orton and then he wins the title on a technicality almost. So
yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, every single time Seth Rollins has a singles match at a pay-per-view, people predict that he'll lose and then cash in his Money in the Bank successfully. I think that's like happened once ever, where a guy is like Jericho in 2008, where he got beaten up by Shawn Michaels and went on to win the world title later. But generally speaking, it doesn't actually happen that often, but people will predict that it will happen at the pay-per-view that Rollins still has that briefcase, I guess. So, you know, the prediction will be thrown around regardless. But, yeah, either way, it does speak, I suppose, for the build, the fact that you don't feel that Orton has to win this, despite the fact that Orton is coming back and this is his first big match in, you know, months. But no one seems to kind of go, Orton has to win this, even though, by all rights, we should be thinking that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was a lot longer than I thought we was going to get out of this kind of... So God knows how we're going to deal with the next one, because Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins has kind of a very weak build, but has the potential to be a great match. I think the next match has an almost opposite problem. It's had an okay build, but everyone has question marks over what's going to happen in the ring, because it's the return of The Undertaker. What was that weird message he had on Raw on the Titantron that was like, the man comes back or something?
The man comes around. He's obviously, Taker's bit into the Johnny Cash greatest hits again, and he's going to come out to The Man Comes Around, which was made famous as being the theme song for the Dawn of the Dead remake in 2004. So I imagine Taker's going to be coming out to that. If he is, that'll be a bit of an odd, you know, it's not like Ain't No Grave, which has kind of a slow, somber tone to it, which he used for 27, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if he comes out to The Man Comes Around, it'll be kind of funny, because it's a bit more of a knee slapper, that song, you know?
It's going to be the upbeat. Maybe he'll come back as like an upbeat Undertaker.
Well, my theory, which I've been telling anyone who will listen, is that Brock Lesnar may have defeated the streak and ended the Phenom, but he never touched Booger Red, the American Badass. So, you know, look for Undertaker to make a return as the American Badass Sunday at WrestleMania. I think that Bray Wyatt has done it now. He's gone and made a big mistake. And Booger Red's going to go make sure that there's no other dogs in his yard.
See, I think you and me are going to be unique in this opinion, but I have an unending love for badass American Badass Undertaker, and I would love, even if it's just this once, and next year he's back to being regular old zombie, I'd mark out like nothing else if we... I want it to be Limp Bizkit, though. Again, that's an unpopular opinion on this website, trust me, but...
the fact that we're talking about a man and we're like talking about, like, well, he could either come out to Johnny Cash or Limp Bizkit. Who is this man like who could conceivably come out to either of these songs? It will be interesting, though. I have a funny feeling that Bray, God bless him, is going to lose. Just because the fact that there's been no appearance from The Undertaker, no indication of, like, I think this is just a case of give Undertaker a little something so that he can do WrestleMania again next year and the year after that. I think they're going to try and use this as a way of saying, look, just because he ended the streak just being Undertaker and WrestleMania is finished, I think they're going to try and use it as a yearly thing, because I think, you know, you got to ask yourself a question every time he comes for a WrestleMania, will it be his last one? And I don't think his match against Bray Wyatt is going to be his last one. You know, if he's going to do one more against Bray Wyatt, he'll probably do a couple more after.
Mm-hmm.
So I see Undertaker winning this one. In terms of what we're going to see in the ring, though, it's anyone's guess. Taker was fairly ropey looking last year, but then again, he was being concussed by Brock Lesnar, which I don't think Bray Wyatt will do to him. But it will be interesting. I want to see some hocus pocus and lights going off and crab walking while someone sits up and lightning bolts and all that in this match. I think they should go all out. That's what people want to see from an Undertaker match. But it will be interesting to see what actually happens.
So see, you hit the nail on the head there, that this should be, if this is 90% like theatrics, for once I'll be okay. If this is all spectacle, but the actual bump taking is on the minimal side, I think that'd make the most sense. Because like you said, The Undertaker, for the first time, I think, was really showing his age last year. Not helped by having, you know, Brock Lesnar foam around, but Bray's not exactly a soft touch in the ring either. He's not exactly a delicate little flower.
True, but I don't think you run the risk of, you know, with Lesnar, there's always, I don't think he knows his own strength, or I don't think he knows what he's doing. And anyone giving German suplexes to The Undertaker after the opening bell is someone who suffers from that problem. I don't think Bray Wyatt suffers from that problem. No. But that being said, you do have to ask yourself, after last year, you know, is Undertaker going to be, so are they going to be protecting with kid gloves? Because, I mean, he went to the hospital after his match last year. So that would obviously lead me to think that they're going to be careful this year to make sure there's not a repeat of that. And we may see minimal bumps and, you know, a lot of theatrics instead. That would lead, you know, some credibility to that theory.
Would you be at all surprised if it was a 5-minute squash?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think if that happened, people would be beyond pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the Rumble, everyone seemed to forget they were doing a little thing at the Rumble where they were trying to have Wyatt make out that he had a little something going for himself, that it was going to be his year or whatever. It's one of those, you know, they have the ability right now, even if they give Bray a strong showing, they can make Bray be an amazing character for the following year if they give him any sort of credibility in this match. They do seem to have a bit of a theory that burning money en masse is what's best for business. And I can't imagine Vince McMahon going, Taker needs to look strong after last year, have him kill Bray in 5 minutes, Bray can get his heat back during the year. So at the back of my mind, I'm thinking it could happen. I hope for the love of God that it doesn't happen, though. But there is always the possibility. You can't tell these days.
Trying to second-guess Vince McMahon, you're trying to apply logic to a man who has none. So
yeah, seriously, I know what's become of me, but it's come to this, really, when in terms of predicting WrestleMania, with Mad McMahon at the helm at the moment,
yep,
who seems to be gung-ho on doing everything that's counter to what you should do.
Very true. Do you think The Undertaker puts in an appearance on Raw tomorrow, or are we going to save it until, like WrestleMania 20 is going to be saved until the actual day of the show?
I have a funny feeling that he's not going to show up on Raw. Yeah, I don't think so.
See, I was... Because on paper, a few months ago, you see Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker and think, well, that's going to be a great feud. If they can hold back from, to steal one of your words, the fantastic, that would have been, okay, I didn't like the whole smoke pouring out the urn and all that crap. It was expected, but still. But instead, we've had a one-man build, and that's happened a few times on this card, that you've kind of had...
You've got three one-man builds, really, on this show, haven't you? When you got Bray and Taker, Taker's not there, Sting and Triple H... Sting, by and large, isn't there, and the same could be said for Brock Lesnar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns isn't fighting Paul Heyman at WrestleMania, folks, just so you're aware of that fact, despite the fact they've been at each other's throats nonstop for a month now. It really, you can get away with one of us, but this is the first year where the whole part-timer mania has really come back to get them, because at least The Rock, when he was doing it, he was putting in the appearances, as was Batista. You know, as was Chris Jericho, when all these guys were coming back for WrestleMania, they were at least on the shows. But three feuds, that's hard to build without, you know, both guys being there.
You know what I mean? That's three matches where three of the opponents have turned up in a sum total of about four times in the 5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Now, you seem to be going for Undertaker win, but let me just explain my theory behind. I'm in the midst of writing my WrestleMania series, and I say that the best way for, like, the best you can do with an Undertaker match at WrestleMania is to create 1% doubt that Undertaker's going to lose. And although they haven't really done it themselves in the build, I've done it to myself. I've created this doubt that there might be a chance. But just hear me out. Now that the streak is over and that's done with, I think the Undertaker loss is now a lot more in play and a lot more realistic. And
yeah, true.
If they have any sense to say, right, we really like Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt can be, not to put this much pressure on him, but he can be the new Undertaker. You see all the pieces fitting in together with that logic. And like I said, you could have the Undertaker lose and say, come out the next night and say, look, yes, I lost again. I'm not at my best. Because this is playing into what I think might happen at 32. If they get Lesnar back under contract, he can come out the next night and say, right, This could happen win or lose, by the way. I lost to Bray Wyatt. I'm not myself. It's because I have this hanging over my head. So next year, Brock, you and me, WrestleMania 32, in what will be my last match, because it's in Texas. I presume they're just trying to get him to 32 so he can retire. And he'll say, I'm going to avenge the streak next year. And then you can do a year-long build with two part-time people. That'll be fun. But that's the 1% doubt I've created in my mind. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. And you have to really... The thing you said there about because the streak has ended, and also as well, they're still playing the whole thing. The fact they're not showing Taker before WrestleMania is they obviously want you to think, is the Undertaker the same after what happened with Lesnar the year before? Is he actually going to be able to wrestle? So if there ever was a scenario in which Bray Wyatt could win, this is actually it. You know, if he was facing, Bray was facing Taker last year, I would have said absolutely no way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But this year, there is that chance as a result. Whether if the case will go with Lesnar and Taker as a rematch, that remains to be seen, I guess. But they do have the potential here to do that, and they really could do a huge thing for Bray Wyatt as a result. The only thing I'm worried about is that if they go and they do a kind of the reason I lost is because of Lesnar, that takes away from Bray's win, and it doesn't mean it's special. Like, is a win over The Undertaker a special thing now that you're just going to have the Lesnar beating him for the streak hanging over everyone's head instead? You know, Bray will be known as the second man to beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. Is that, like, an accolade worth having? We don't know. But definitely, this one is got a lot of intrigue. I suppose, you know, this WrestleMania just made everyone not get particularly having their hopes raised up. So a lot of people are kind of just assuming that Bray will, you know, lose quietly and that'll be that. You know, if he lost to Cena clean, maybe he'll probably lose to The Undertaker clean. That's the kind of theory that's going around, I reckon. But it will be interesting to see. There's a lot of play at this. And what happens in this match will definitely give you an indication of where Undertaker's going over the next few years.
You do bring up a very good point about holding over the Brock Lesnar loss. So you've tempered my fantasy booking that maybe they'll give Bray a chance. Speaking of giving people a chance, we can blow through this one pretty quickly. Will the Divas get their chance on what I presume is the pre-show? It's going to be AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. I have no intrigue. I really want to, but...
I'll be honest, right? And this is really, really pissing me off at the moment. The whole give Divas a chance thing, right? NXT has made huge, huge, huge strides with female wrestling this past 6 months. Mm-hmm. They have done mind-blowing things. Main event level matches, main event level storylines, believable characters, amazing athleticism from people who have extensive backgrounds in wrestling, like, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley, and those who don't, like Charlotte. How in the name of goodness has suddenly the main roster division like just kind of nipped away this from them? Everyone's kind of like acting like the main roster divas are you know, deserving of this kind of accolade. And, you know, it is upsetting to admit, but AJ and Paige, if they were wrestling at WrestleMania, I'd be all up for this. But don't for the moment tell me that the Bella Twins are somehow these amazing old school want to make women's wrestling be this amazing thing. They're not. They've said in interviews recently that they don't think women can be as good as men in wrestling. And they've said in interviews recently that they don't deserve to have more than 5 minutes because they don't think that they're interesting enough and their characters aren't good enough. So I actually don't want to give these divas a chance. I'd like to give the NXT divas a chance, or AJ and Paige, I guess. But at WrestleMania, in a tag match with the Bellas, if people think this is going to be the moment that the women's division turns around and Vince McMahon sees the light and realizes how backwards they've been with the women's division, I think they're going to be disappointed somehow. So, yeah, don't think the Divas are going to get their chance at WrestleMania, folks. You know, the Bellas are more of a cause of that problem that the Divas are having than any part of a solution. If the Divas are given a chance, it'll be on the backs of people like Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Paige and AJ. It won't be from the company towing lines of Nikki and Brie Bella. That's not going to happen.
This is the thing about NXT that people don't... If they don't watch it week in, week out, they don't realise this. They might be saying, well, yeah, the Divas are doing good matches on the specials, but what else is there? That a few weeks ago, they had Charlotte versus Sasha Banks main event in the title match, and I didn't even bat an eyelid. I was like, well, of course they would main event. They have a good feud
going. Yeah, because it's awesome. And, yeah, it's just... it irks me when somehow, how did the Bellas get involved in this? You know, there's very much still the divide in the main roster of the actual female wrestlers and then the divas. Mm-hmm. And even though the Bellas have improved in a lot of recent years, they still very much had the mentality that they're part of that divas thing. You know, I think they're part of this viewing that women in wrestling is a sideshow attraction that's to be carted out for 2 to 3 minutes and to be given no character and no story, and it can't be serious. It has to be Paige running around in a fairy costume because her towel was stolen. You know, crap like that, you know. It's not, give divas a chance is not going to happen with that roster at the moment. And if you really think as well that they're going to let AJ Lee get the spotlight and do awesome things for women's wrestling at the moment, that's not happening at all, you know. That's so not happening, you know. And that's really upsetting as well, that, like, that's one of the things that's holding it back as well, is that because of AJ's, you know, obviously because of who her husband is, she's not going to be put in a prominent position. If they were viewing this as being serious, AJ Lee, by all rights, will be facing Stephanie in WrestleMania, or Paige. Why are they facing the Bellas? Because the Bellas are in the Flintstones movie? That's the sum total of story we've been given. All we know is that that the Bella twins are saying yabba dabba doo on Raw at the moment. If people actually think that a match that has been built with the phrase yabba dabba doo is going to be the second coming of women's wrestling in WWE, they're very wrong. Watch NXT instead, folks. Seriously.
Just when you thought that Edge versus Booker T for the right to appear in a Japanese shampoo commercial was the weakest reason to have a WrestleMania, you get this match. Look, the thing is, we're not going to go into a diva tirade because we could be here for hours, but it is feasibly possible that they could turn things around. They could give Triple H the book of the women's wrestling on TV. They have enough time to slot them in to at least a couple of segments throughout the week, given 15 minutes here. They have capable wrestlers everywhere. If not, they can go and get them from the indie scene. NXT's hoovering up everybody with talent. They can go get the best divas in the world. But just because it could happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. And yeah, with the Bellas at the top, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
I think people need to remind themselves, right, if you look at, everyone keeps kind of going like the second coming of the Divas division or women's wrestling. Has there ever been a point where Vince McMahon has not treated the women on his roster as either A, like, you know, things for sexual titillation, or B, as a popcorn break? You know, he's a 70-year-old man. He doesn't understand gender equality, I don't think, as it pertains to wrestling. He doesn't think they can be stars. He doesn't think they're worth giving, you know, his attention to. And that much is pretty obvious and has been for the last 20 years or so. So it's depressing, but it's true.
See, I really do think we're going to have to wait until Triple H has the book of the whole company,
yeah,
until we start to see anything.
Major hashtags for them, yeah.
Yes. Then there is a chance that once Vince is somehow out of power that we can get back on track. By the way, NXT has made me so I'm so full of anticipation for when Triple H finally gets to do his thing on the main roster. That could be all levels of good. Right, real quick, because this will save us some time, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, is there anybody other than Mizdow that you care about winning?
I've a funny feeling that we're going to see Sheamus appear possibly in this match. Because it would make a lot more sense for him to knock out, you know, Heath Slater and take his spot than take someone's spot in the IC match. So as it stands, I'm thinking Sheamus is going to win this thing. And after that, he'll have Paul Heyman be his manager for a few months, then kind of be a face, but kind of be a heel, and it'll all fizzle out around summer. That's, I think, what's the prediction for this match. Mizdow I'd love to see, because actually it's been a great build and probably one of the best builds they have on the show at the moment, Miz and Mizdow. But I'm more and more thinking that that's going to be a spot in the match as opposed to the end of the match itself. You know, I see Mizdow throwing out Miz and then being promptly thrown over the top rope by Kane or Big Show or something like that. But if Sheamus is even remotely near this match, he'll win it. If not, Mizdow, I hope.
Yeah, I share your sentiment. I've been trying to figure out other ways they can bring back Sheamus, but none is more plausible than him just being in the Andre Battle Royal. They could do a thing where Sandow has appearingly won and he's thrown everybody over, his music played, then Sheamus comes out and says, oh no, I'm still a part of this Battle Royal.
Now hold on a minute there, fella, you know.
There we go. And then he can be, then he's heel straight away. I think that's a very good way to do it. But yeah, I don't want Sheamus. That's just
heel Sheamus though. That's the rumor, is that if Sheamus is coming back, he's going to be a heel, mm-hmm. and I'll be all up for that because I think he's got a lot to offer as a heel. So if he does come back, I hope it's a heel. I hope he doesn't come out just as a big roundy smiley head and him and throw a Big Show over the top rope and then, you know, throw potatoes to the crowd, whatever it is he does. The bloody caricature that he is. I do want to see the mean streak kind of Sheamus, hopefully, that I've been clamoring for a few years now. So
yep.
I'm very, again, much like Bray and Taker, a lot of these matches here, I'm genuinely holding out hope that, you know, on the night I could be surprised and something can happen here. But, you know, as it stands, I'm going to not raise up my hopes too much.
I think you're a smart man to do that, yeah. I'd much prefer heel Sheamus. That would be a good way to utilise him. But, again, I'd rather it not come as a result as costing Mizdow. This match right now, another match that I don't think, again, me and you uniquely are not going to be all that into. Are you getting the patriotic feels for John Cena versus Rusev?
The one thing I will tell you about this one, Darren, is better two men in there than 20 million out there killing each other. You know, this is Rocky III come to life. You know what? I am actually genuinely pro this, what they're doing with Cena at the moment. I like it. It's smart. They did it last year with Bray. They did it this year at Rusev. And I hope they keep doing this for a few years now, which is Cena battling with the guy who's obviously going to be one of their long-term heels or whatever. If he beats him again, you know, and it becomes the thing that John Cena just beats up all the guys who are, you know, developing into main event talents, it's not going to work so well. But I can't help but think that Rusev has definitely gotten a nice rub from working with Cena. What happens here at WrestleMania, I don't know. The kind of thing you have to be telling yourself is there's no conceivable way that Rusev can win at this point, surely, at WrestleMania against John Cena. You know, it's undefeated for over a year now, whatever. Surely now he's going to lose. It will be good, though, I think. You know, I love Rusev's style. I'm not, you know, I don't really care about the political ramifications of it, I guess. But John Cena with the U.S. belt is a very interesting prospect. Mm-hmm. Leads into that theory going around that the secondary titles are going to be elevated. I'll be interested to see what happens with this one. My money is on Cena, I guess, for this. But I'm hoping to see Rusev get a nice, you know, a nice rub in this one. Hopefully looks like a star in the process. Because Bray, at last year's WrestleMania, you know, even though Bray got put away clean, he did make a real good impression in that match between his entrance and getting the crowd in the palm of his hands. He did actually get a really big rub from working with Cena, even though he lost. And I'm probably in the minority thinking that. So I'm hoping to see that Rusev gets a little something, mm-hmm. you know, something cool at WrestleMania as a result.
See, I did think last year the ending was all wrong. I would have had Cena would have lost nothing from Wyatt going over there. He only would have helped this year when Wyatt's up against Taker. But I think had Bray won last year, I'd be okay with Cena losing here. Because I do agree, I think John Cena with the US title and possibly Daniel Bryan with the IC title coming out of the ladder match.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Because that way they have a safety net. Because we're pretty sure the Roman experiment's going to have at least a few rocky couple of months. There's always the possibility they can salvage something, but
yeah, yeah.
People won't be as up in arms if they have a fantastic undercard with Cena and Daniel Bryan holding those titles. I do think the entrances are going to be ridiculous for this. It's going to be, John Cena comes out, dresses Apollo Creed from Rocky IV and punches a giant bull, and then the giant bull breaks up, and he's coming out to Living in America. I'll be all for this. I'll be Team Cena all the way. Other than that, I've really struggled to connect with the rah-rah, let's go America type of things, because last year, at least, Cena was trying to be more inclusive. This year, it's smart in their home territory for him to be all, let's go with the troops and all that stuff, but they have to understand that they're a worldwide product now. They've given people outside of America a lot less reason to cheer for Cena than those who live there.
Yeah, it's true. I guess that when it comes to patriotism, Vince McMahon is, you know, he won't hear anything else about it. And, you know, you've got the U.S. belt there. Regarding John Cena is there. They're not going to not they're using it basically as Cena's kind of his justification for going for a secondary title is that because it's the pride of his country, you know, and that's why they've decided to latch on to that. I'm pretty sure they don't care that they've got a huge audience that is uninterested in the comings and goings of faux cold wars between countries that are actually allies, but whatever, you know. It'll be fun for the pomp and circumstance. I hope to see Rusev come out in the back of a giant Scud missile or something like that. You know, I'm hoping for some genuine kind of the Soviet Union's alive and well, folks, kind of moment at WrestleMania when Rusev comes out.
And they look up towards the box and there's the Russian premier doing a little salute, and then Rusev looks at him and salutes him. And
that son of a bitch, Vladimir Putin, in his VIP box looking down at us all.
Why he hasn't put a Russian sticker over his Bulgarian flag yet, I don't know.
Or why he hasn't put a Russian sticker over the US belt either. But that remains to be seen, I guess.
Do we think we'll get the lawyer coming down with him from Raw last week?
Fucking hell, I bet they're regretting him, huh? Whatever agency they use for him, they won't be using them again. They'll be getting a negative review on Amazon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't think Lana's going to be there either because she's off shooting a movie with Edge, which is incredibly poor timing.
So I hope that she appears for WrestleMania at least. I mean, God, whatever. I mean, come on, lads. Let's all be fucking serious here. Whatever movie is they're making is not more important than WrestleMania. Nothing that they could be filming could be more important. She needs to be there. She's an important part of that character. And I'm not interested in Rusev on his own. You need to have the two of them together. That's why it works. Ivan Drago wouldn't work if he was just sitting there on his own looking mean. You need to have the mouthpiece, you know. So if they think that he'll be fine without her, they're seriously, like, this is where he needs her the most, you know. The act needs to be together. You're facing John Cena. You don't, like, go in and assume that he'll be fine without the main thing that got him over in the first place.
Nail on the head. I'm still not convinced by Rusev entirely either, even going forward. I think there's other people, other heels that they could, you know, have more potential to carry stock going forward. But yeah, she's integral to this act game over, so a WrestleMania about her will be a bummer. Right. Now, something that has come back this year, which we're all excited about, it's kind of the one match that everyone's like, well, WrestleMania sucks, but the ladder match should be cool. We have the 7-way? Yes, 7-way intercontinental ladder match between Bad News Barrett, the Great White Hope for an English champion, but that's not going to happen anymore. R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, and Daniel Bryan. Are you on the same standing as me that this is kind of the match you're like, that should be good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question this match will be amazing. And if you caught a SmackDown this week with these guys going through a gauntlet match, you immediately realize you've got basically all the best workers in the company, all the most interesting characters in the company, all in one match. It's funny, you could have really spread this out amongst the card a little bit more, folks, and really helped yourselves out, but fine, that's grand. You've got to put them all in one place. It will be an amazing match. It is going to be awesome. I know that. It's going to seal the show easily. Any match that is Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, and fucking ladders, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be really, really great. The build has been questionable. Okay. Calling Daniel Bryan the turd has been questionable. His inclusion in the match has been questionable. But you can't deny at the end of the day that it is going to be an awesome match. And any arguments that people make kind of going, oh, yeah, but the build has been weird, and, oh, the title means so little, and, oh, them stealing the belt is silly. You know what? They're allowed to just come up with a placeholder storyline to get these seven men into this match, because I'm fine, whatever. Do what you need to do. Let me see Dean Ambrose take a crazy bump off a ladder at WrestleMania, please. Let me see, you know, these guys get a chance to show what they can do, because I have a funny feeling that these guys are going to pull out some serious stops in this one.
Going to be crazy. You are right. This is kind of the glass ceiling ladder match where, like, all of these people, with the exception of R-Truth, really could be doing more, and you want to see them do more, and you hope this will lead to them doing more in the future. But it's like, okay, if we can't have them in high profile matches, let's just all bung them together, because you're right, this is going to be a phenomenal match. The amount of crazy people willing to take crazy bumps is off the charts in this match, so it's going to be a car crash. Its placement on the card will be kind of interesting. Considering it's a kind of flat WrestleMania, you need to place this smartly. If you put this first, which they traditionally do with the ladder matches, that could have a really, that could take a good hour to come out of that lull. That
well, if they do that, then people will actually be asleep during the main event. Like, actually asleep.
That would be fantastic. This is, we'll get to the main event in a moment, but the little devil in me wants everything to go wrong for that main event, just to see what will happen.
This match particularly, the three people to look out for are going to be Brian, Luke Harper, and Dean Ambrose, who are three guys who obviously should be in a higher position than they are. Ambrose got a taste of the main event because everyone got injured in autumn. You know, Harper as well got a bit of a semi-push and now seems to be just treading water. And Brian obviously should be in a much, much bigger match than he is. So you've got, like, people who've got points to prove, like, legitimately, not just storyline-wise, and they've got a great, great, great way to do it. And I think that given that a lot of the matches, like, Bray and Taker is not going to be a long match. Reigns and Lesnar is not going to be a long match. Neither Sting and Triple H is not going to be a long match. None of those matches are going to go over 15 minutes. They physically can't, because the competitors will actually fall apart if they try to. So I expect to see this one get a nice big chunk of time as well. You know, I'm keeping my expectations low for a lot of things, but my expectations are quite high for this one in terms of the time they're going to get and what they're going to do. I'm excited for this one.
I'm really excited. I'm still pretty convinced it's going to be Brian walking away with the title, but again, except for R-Truth, which is kind of the tagline for this match, anybody winning the IC title out of this, I think you go, I'm not sold on the Stardust character, because I really do think Cody Rhodes has a lot of potential, but every 6 months he gets a new awful gimmick, and you think, well, it's going to be at least 6 months before he's able to drop this, and then he gets another shitty gimmick that we've got to get out of.
I think the Stardust gimmick is, like, not gone, because he was in a tag team for so long, so it was a gimmick that was kind of shared almost with Goldust, and the fact that Stardust is in this match, as opposed to facing his brother Goldust, which everyone assumed would happen, would lead you to kind of think that the character's not going to get the development that you'd wanted to, because if he's not going to get his character development moment with his brother Goldust in a big match, then when will he get it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does change gimmicks again soon after this. But yeah, I do think that, you know, Cody Rhodes is another guy who, you know, could add him into that list with Ambrose and Harper and Bryan, who probably feels he should be in a bigger match. He probably feels he should be having that, you know, long last, the Rhodes brothers face off at WrestleMania, which has been rumored every year for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's got points to prove in this one as well. And whatever about the gimmick, your opinions on that, no one can deny that Cody Rhodes is awesome and athletic in the ring. And anytime there's a ladder match, he tends to really shine. You know, his last Money in the Bank match he was in, where Sandow won, he really, really shined there. He really, really did.
Mm-hmm. He was fantastic in that match. And I thought that was going to be, because that when he was just being normal Cody Rhodes, and I was like, normal Cody Rhodes can conceivably be in the world title picture. Any type of quirk on the Cody Rhodes personality, I think, automatically disqualifies him from the kind of upper echelon.
Mm-hmm.
Right, on to the semi-main. Is it okay if I'm completely Team Triple H?
Of course.
Fantastic. Since I'm not, I got into wrestling when WCW was basically dead. It was still going, but it was, you know, a few months down the line it was brought out. And my feelings towards TNA have been made very clear on very many occasions. So Sting is just not my guy. I don't think I've ever seen a Sting match, so... And Triple H bringing up the I'm going to kill WCW thing had me like, yes, I am Team Triple H all the way.
What they've essentially just done with this one is now that they have Triple H being the big baddie telling you he's going to kill WCW and, you know, he's going to destroy its legacy and all that, he's essentially turned every documentary the WWE has ever produced heel, because WWE have always done a very good job of making sure you know that WCW was a place where Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho once did flips, and everything else they did was pure evil and awful and rubbish, and, oh, look how much money they wasted, and all the talent they stole, not like WWE, who never stole any talent or anything like that. So now we're meant to try and, like, 15 years after the company is closed, we're meant to rally behind WCW, and it's like, I don't know if that's the right way to go. I think they should just kind of have kept it simply as, I like the whole, you're someone who's abusing power, Sting is someone who stops people abusing power, gonna get you. That's fine. Doesn't need to be a WCW, WWE thing, because I don't think, you know, most fans aren't probably old enough to remember what WCW even was outside of a network documentary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, although I will say, as cynical as I was never a big WCW fan. You know, my WCW experiences I've talked about, you know, on our podcast. Bit of a Sting fan at times. I think he had a cool look. I think the Crow thing is really cool. Just seeing Sting in WWE has been neat for me. You know, I marked out when he first came back. Don't think it's going to be a very good match, but I am excited. I still am way at the back of my head, have a little bit of excitement for just seeing the fact that, whoa, Sting is going to be wrestling at WrestleMania. That's pretty cool. That is, like, for me, that is cool. Seeing Sting and Orton this Monday on Raw was a pretty cool moment, albeit not as cool as Michael Cole truly hoped we all thought it was. I can see this match probably being no longer than 10 minutes, and Sting will hit a lot of the authority in the tummy with his baseball bat. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen a lot. Expect Big Show and Kane to get boxed in the tummy a lot in this one, folks. It's going to happen. But yeah, I will be interested to see how the crowd reacts on the night, because obviously, you know, it's going to be 80,000 people in an arena. Are all these people really that into Sting? Do they know enough about Sting? Is there enough network subscribers or enough smart marks in that 80,000 so that when this man comes out, who hasn't wrestled ever before for this company and has only been seen for around 10 minutes on WWE TV, will they react to him when he comes out? And will they get behind him in a match with a man, you know, who can't wrestle a WWE-style match, Sting? You know, he's not going to learn the new way now. It'll be really interesting. I don't think it'll be a train wreck. I don't think Triple H is going to put himself in a train wreck match. You know, there's a reason why he's doing this match and Undertaker isn't, when you really think about it. Mm-hmm. Chances are, I think Triple H will be able to steer this ship, and there'll be enough gimmicks and bells and whistles that everyone will go home happy. But I don't think Sting is the star anymore that WWE wants you to think he is. Because for the likes of me, grand, you can tickle the nostalgia and the intrigue, but if you're someone like yourself who's just not into WCW, and they sure as shit aren't going to try and get any TNA fans riled up, I don't know how they're going to try and make Sting be a main event thing. Are people buying the network because Sting is come back? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And I don't think they are, but that's really, at the end of the day, that's the only real marker you have for success now. You know?
You have got a very good point. I don't think he's going to be a major driving factor for the network, which is what everything has to be channeled towards. But, see, you are right. Triple H is the one thing that's making me think this could be cool. Every time you doubt Triple H at WrestleMania and think he's going to have a bit of a less than good match, he kind of pulls it out.
Except for WrestleMania 25, where I was totally correct in assuming his match would be shit. But anyway.
I accidentally wrote about that twice in my series because I forgot about it instantly when I talked to Randy Orton, and then accidentally wrote about it again when I had to talk about Triple H. Yeah, that match is awful. But when Sting first came back at Survivor Series, I think the week or two after, me and Zim, the other NXT guy from ProWrestling.net, got together and kind of did like a Millennials.net weekly. And neither of us were WCW guys. We were just too young at the time. He was more of a TNA fan than I've ever been. But we both just started like gushing anger towards this, everyone getting excited for Sting, because we couldn't get over the reality that he's old. He's in his 50s.
He is in good shape. You know, I will say, though, on Raw, when I saw him, one of the reasons that really got me kind of inked over a little bit towards the positive side in this match was that Sting does look like he's in better shape than he ever was in TNA, which isn't saying much, but he looks like he has been in the gym. So that much he does have going for him.
He has got that going for him. And the promo video they did of I tried to save WCW and I failed almost got me back round to.
I tried to save WCW, but they gave me all this AOL money and I just couldn't turn it down. Damn you, AOL.
When I used to have an AOL connection, I used to say that sentence all the time. So that kind of thing almost got me back to neutral thing, but I still, he's not, You made a good point that I haven't thought of. He's not a WWE match-style trained guy, so that's going to be a big hurdle to come up. Obviously, Triple H wrestled in WCW, and he's well-versed in every single style of wrestling that could possibly exist. So,
will we see some of the old Terror Rising spots out of Triple H in this one? Who knows?
Let's hope so. I'd settle for Paul... what was his name when he was Levesque?
Jean-Paul Levesque.
That's the one, yeah. If he comes out as Jean-Paul Levesque, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, so, again, I've liked some of the things they do. I do, for the most part, the build has been probably what I would do. I just question the validity to begin with of, you're right, are people going to care? Are en masse people, like, anybody younger than me is not going to know who Sting is, so...
I'm just worried that because like, it's not a Royal Rumble moment where they come in, it's like, yay, music's playing, yay, and they're in the ring and they do one or two things, like, yay, you know, they will have to have a whole match. And, you know, when you look at it, he's a man in his 50s in face paint, and if 80,000 people don't decide that he's cool, it's going to be awkward as shit. It's going to be really awkward. Really awkward, yeah. So I hope for Sting's sake, because he's held off so long, and he's finally coming here, and he's finally doing it, he's finally going to be a match at WrestleMania, I hope that he doesn't have regrets for, you know, waiting as long as he has now. You know, I hope he does get something out of this, because otherwise he'll probably be kicking himself for years to come that he's wasted his opportunity by waiting too long. I wonder what's going to happen off of this. If this is either going to be the only time you see Sting, or you may see Sting a couple more times after this. It all depends on how that crowd reacts, I think.
Yes, I don't think this is going to be Brett versus Vince from 26 levels of bad. It has the potential to be a bit awkward, but I will say this, at least for Sting, I can give him a lot of credit for this. While he's still maybe playing tribute to a cult film from 20 years ago, at least he's not Joker Sting anymore. That would have been the worst thing possible, but at least he's gone back to just paying homage to a kind of infamous film that people only remember because the actor died.
Yeah, he'll be coming out in a red suit with a crow, I don't think.
Let's hope not. Okay, the big one. The big question mark that hangs over everything at WrestleMania 31. We have the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar versus... How many nicknames does Roman Reigns have, actually? I forgot all of them. Instantly.
I just call him now instead. It's easier.
The man.
Yeah. Hashtag you know, big moo-moo man that he is, Roman Reigns.
He's got one versus all is on his T-shirt. Then it's I can and I will.
Now, choose you is also on his shirt. And, yeah. Interesting one, this one. You've got... someone who the fans have openly rejected, who the WWE is hoping that some miracle of chance are going to climb onto. You got a very, very discouraged Brock Lesnar who's threatening to leave the company, and the fans have all pegged up on it. So any fun and anticipation has been spoiled on several levels by both ourselves and the participants involved. It is just WrestleMania 20 all over again. Like, Steve Austin needs to come out and get milled in the face with a can of beer and drive around in his little ATV to make this thing complete. It is history repeating itself. It is so like this. It's crazy.
I can't remember a WrestleMania main event having the potential to fail. But, okay, last year, what we thought was going to be the main event would have produced thermonuclear heat if they'd actually gone with Orton Batista. But they had the sense to change it. This year, they stuck to their guns. And I think for the first time ever, we have the potential for a worse WrestleMania main event than WrestleMania 27. Miz versus
I know, Taylor. I mean, people, you have to realize, even though we're all sick of them now, in WrestleMania 27, you didn't care that John Cena was facing The Miz because The Rock was there and you were all happy because he said on Raw that he loved you and he was never going to leave ever again. So we were all happy all throughout WrestleMania 27. We were blindly happy, thought it was perfectly fine to have Miz and John Cena because The Rock was going to come out and love us all and talk about pie and it would be fine. You got no such joy this time around. There's no massive distraction that's other than Paul Heyman, I guess, but Heyman's not going to be able to cut a promo while these two lads are wrestling. It's going to be ugly because Roman Reigns cannot wrestle and Brock Lesnar, you know, if Brock Lesnar leads a match, he gives you a concussion. That's what happens. right? Brock Lesnar leading a match is what happened last year at WrestleMania. It's going to be ugly as hell. And Reigns will probably win. If Reigns doesn't win, that's obviously going to give us an indication of the Lesnar contract situation. But at WrestleMania, in the main event, it shouldn't be the main thing on your mind, one of the performers' contracts. That shouldn't be what people are talking about. People shouldn't be talking about how one of the guys is ready and the other guy is out the door. What's that like? Full year behind you of having the network and WrestleMania. You know, obvious isn't always a bad thing. And they went with the obvious here. But, you know, this only would have worked if Roman Reigns wasn't injured for the period where he was injured, because he hasn't had a chance to put in that 4 or 5 months chunk of work that fans, I think, needed to have to justify to themselves that they could cheer the man. But it's going to be, any way you shake it, it's going to be pretty gnarly. The only way I think that this one can go over well with the fans is if they do a SummerSlam kind of beatdown, and that he mercifully beat the crap out of this guy. You know, but I don't think we're going to have that for a main event at WrestleMania. I don't think they're going to damage Reigns that much. So I have a funny feeling it's going to be a lot. I'm thinking of Goldberg and Lesnar. These guys are going to lock up for a long time. They're going to liken them to bulls. They'll run the ropes and do fucking smashes into each other, and no one will fall down, and then they'll wearily hit each other's finishers, and, you know, it'll just, you know, Lesnar's not interested. He's not got an opponent that can drag it out of him, so I'm not excited. Roman Reigns is not ready, you know. No. There you go.
it's like the inverse of every good WrestleMania main event, because you're usually thinking, wow, how good can that match be? What's the exciting outcome? This is like the exact opposite. It's like, well, how bad could it be? How could they say things? And every way you try and run through your head of how to save it, there's still a massive negative. Like for example, WrestleMania 1, Mr. T was a bit iffy, so they put Pat Patterson as the referee. So I thought, well, Shawn Michaels will be knocking about. You could put him in a bald cap and put him in a referee t-shirt and try him having fumble about these two monsters into something coherent. I will say this. I still think Paul Heyman's a factor. It's a real bad thing that the most important man to the WrestleMania main event isn't one of the wrestlers, and he's factually the guy stood on the outside. But if you cast your minds back to the Ryback CM Punk Hell in a Cell match, Paul Heyman did a lot to make that match great. He was like the panicky manager of CM Punk shouting, "He's up! He's up!" He put in a 5-star performance that night. How much that can help this match get over the hump, I don't know. But like, everything's going against it. The crowd will not be receptive.
Yeah, and it's disappointing as well when you really think about it. I do find it kind of insulting, the fact that if Lesnar does lose, because Lesnar's had he's been on a tear the whole year, and if Lesnar does finally lose now, you know, there's no other way to describe it other than it is insulting to the beating that John Cena took and to the beating that The Undertaker took. They're two guys who went, okay, you know, do what you got to do, make it look good, you know, you can go, you do what you have to. And they're guys who obviously took a lot of hard shots from Lesnar, you know, and got hurt. For the purposes of storyline, for the purposes of making it look good, for the purposes of getting Lesnar over. And to think now, after all that, and the fucking concussions and the injuries and the pain that those guys put themselves through, even Rollins and Cena again at the Rumble, those guys were taking crazy bumps from Lesnar, absolutely splatting themselves for him. And to think now that it's going to be a shitty Superman punch and Roman Reigns will do his mediocre spear, and that is what's going to end, you know, Lesnar's year. You know, Lesnar, when we saw him, you know, me and Adam and Billy from the podcast, and we watched SummerSlam, and we saw Lesnar sitting up doing the Undertaker's sit-up taunt, you know, when he was facing Cena, and we were like, he's wrestling's final boss now. You know, that's what he's become. And it feels like Vince McMahon's using a cheat code to get Roman Reigns to the last level. And, you know, you've not really beaten that game, Vince McMahon. You know, you've really not. You've not earned this. And it's it's going to be disappointing. You know, there's no two ways to look at it. Even if Lesnar wins, it's still going to be disappointing. Because at the end of the day, I do think that if they everything worked out and no one was injured and they were smart in their booking, that you could have had Reigns. This match could have worked. I'm not saying this match is like was written off from the get-go. You know, this time last year, I was thinking, yeah, in a year's time, Reigns and Lesnar, that'll work. Reigns can be built up. That will definitely work. They've built up Lesnar. They've not built up Reigns. And now it's going to look shitty when Reigns beats Lesnar.
That final boss analogy is probably the best analogy for this main event I've heard yet. Because you're right, they could have called an audible and said, right, we don't have time to get Roman over, but we have so much faith in him that we'll hold him off. We'll get him to WrestleMania 32, and that's when, you know, they could have put him in a... There was a multitude of people they could have put him on this WrestleMania that would have made him stand out, have a big match, and then he's all... You've got another year to get him ready for Lesnar, or whoever's the champion at the time, next year. You are right, there's just...
It would have been nice even... I would have been up for... Honestly, this may be controversial, but I would have been up for... If they didn't think Reigns was ready now... And they could have arranged some sort of at least an extension of contract with Lesnar to have Lesnar, you know, beat the crap out of like Bryan win the Rumble or whatever, Lesnar kill Bryan at WrestleMania, and then, you know, a few months later have Reigns beat Lesnar, you know, say SummerSlam or whatever, after he's gotten a little bit more builds. I would have been happier with that than the current scenario, because this is just underbaked. It's not finished, it's not ready, and it's gonna go on the main event and it's gonna be a tough, tough crowd. They are not buying Roman Reigns at all. And they can take away all the Daniel Bryan signs they want to in the world, but that's not going to change the fact that this crowd will reject Roman Reigns, unquestionably. You can go to a random city in America and convince yourselves that the fans are okay with Reigns because it's not full of smart fans. The people who go to WrestleMania are loud enough to make 80,000 people seem like they don't like Roman Reigns, and they will not like Roman Reigns at this show. It's sad, because here we are now, a year after the fact. If you look at everyone's face when Lesnar beat The Undertaker and ended the streak and broke all of our hearts and made us all cry our little heads off, and they're going to be cheering that man a year later, which is completely counterintuitive to the whole point of him beating the streak. The point of beating the streak is that it was the unquestionably the worst, most villainous, how could you thing that you could do, you know, and he's done it. And now he's being cheered. Such is the apathy of the fans that we have forgiven Brock Lesnar for ending the streak. We'd rather cheer the man who destroyed our childhood than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is clearly not the guy at the moment.
And as much as I do respect them ever so slightly for sticking to their guns so adamantly, that they're like, no, Roman can still be good despite everything.
The Booker has to go down with the ship in this one, it would be.
Exactly. Despite all evidence to the contrary that he's not the man, we think he's the man. So, you're right. It shouldn't have come to a point where the most perverse joy we can get out of the main event is looking forward to how bad it's going to be. Because I want this to be... A little bit of me would be like, okay, I'd like them to overcome, surprise everybody and have a great match. Yeah, but the devil inside me is winning this year and thinking, no, I want this to be awful.
I want to see people filing out and leaving.
Oh, that
I was
be...
at WrestleMania 25 and I remember thinking there was something wrong in the main event when most of my section walked up and left rather than see the end of Triple H and Randy Orton. And I think something like that happening during the main event of this would be quite funny.
Well, just so we can put a wrap up on this preview, do you think the inevitable will happen and Brock will walk out, or is it just so set in stone that there's no stopping Roman at this point?
Tough to say, really. Part of me is really hoping, you know, the rumour that's been going around, the Dolphin rumour, obviously, being that Lesnar are going to stick around, keep the belts, they're going to build up Reigns for an eventual rematch or whatever, and put the focus on Bryan and Cena with the secondary titles. That's all, you know, very much an if, and, and but situation. You know, there's a lot of variables in there. So, because that seems unlikely, because it involves so many concessions being made, I am going to think that, yeah, I do think that Reigns is going to beat Lesnar here, regardless. I think, even though that scenario, the one that's been passed around, it's just a little too ideal and needs too many people to kind of nod in agreement. So, cynically, I'm going to say I think that Lesnar is probably going to lose here. Yeah.
Yeah, I concur. I don't think there's any stopping Roman at this point, and then we'll have to put up... This is the worst thing, is the inevitable feeling that we're going to have to put up with Roman for the next 10 years. that's like the sword of Damocles hanging over me, that this is just the beginning. This is not the end.
Well, a man once said, whether you like it or you don't, learn to love it, because it's the best thing going. But in this case, it'll be the only thing going. So, yeah. Better buy that Roman Reigns t-shirt, kids.
Oh, Christ. Okay, and there it is, a very apathetic WrestleMania preview. Like we said, they do have one last Monday Night Raw to turn around. They're going to have Lesnar and Reigns face off, which will probably be Paul Heyman stood in the middle of them, kind of almost being a ventriloquist, trying to speak for both of them.
I will say one final thing, Darren, about this, though, right? And this may be a bit of a cop-out, but this exact moment last year, I was feeling that WrestleMania 30 was going to be a wet fart and I wasn't going to enjoy it at all. And I very much went into that with arms folded and a frowny little face on me. And I ended up enjoying it more than any WrestleMania in probably the previous 10 years. So, you know, WWE is capable of catching lightning in a bottle and switching things around in a given moment. You know, that scenario which I mentioned is always possible, and I'm not saying that this is destined to be a shit WrestleMania. It's just a WrestleMania I think we're destined to not get excited for until the night.
You're very right. I do think they're going to have to... See, if it was any other time period in wrestling, I'd have a bit more faith that WWE could pull it out, but they've just been so awful for... The past year has just been such dog shit that I'm still not convinced that I'll be able to put it out. Hopefully I'm wrong. I do want to like WrestleMania as much as you do, Kevin. We all want to be excited for this WrestleMania and to, you know, cheer Roman and be happy that Roman's winning, but I don't see how they can do it. But that will be all for today. If you'd just like to give a quick plug for your podcast one last time, Kevin.
Yeah, sure. Alex Jarrett Podcast. Check it out. SoundCloud on iTunes. We review all the wrestling pay-per-views of the Attitude Era through modern eyes and with a fan who's never seen it before. Starting at WrestleMania 14, working our way through to 17. We're currently just around SummerSlam 2000 will be our next episode. Do check us out. We're on botchmania.com, Inside the Ropes. You can find us all throughout there as well. And yeah, give us a follow on Twitter at AE Podcast. And facebook.com/AEPodcast as well, where we, you know, do caption contests and, you know, live tweet wall and pay-per-views and things like that. We'll be tweeting WrestleMania, so be sure you follow along if you see if we're going to have our hearts broken again like we're predicting we're going to be. But, yeah.
Awesome. Plans for WrestleMania? Are you doing anything special?
Yeah, we're having people over, and we're having a WrestleMania party, and I'm making potato salads, and as I've said in previous interviews and on Twitter, as it stands currently, the reaction of the group of people coming over to the potato salads has got a lot more of my attention than any other card, any other match on the card. So, you know, WrestleMania may be a bust, but I've got a pretty good potato salad recipe. You know, I'm not writing the night off entirely just yet.
You brave, brave soul. See, I have to get up. I'm booking the day off work next day because I know I'm not going to be able to stay awake for that goddamn thing. So please, nobody tweet me or text me anything that happens. I will be very angry if you do this. Be sure to check back to ProWrestling.net over WrestleMania week. We will have a ton of audio, a ton of coverage of everything that happens at WrestleMania, from Access to the Hall of Fame to WrestleMania itself on the Sunday. Thank you for joining me, Kevin.
It's been a pleasure, Darren.
You're welcome, and we will speak to you again.